Chapter 34. The Department of Mysteries. Harry wound his hand tightly into the mane of the nearest thestral, placed a foot on a stump nearby, and scrambled clumsily onto the horse's silken back. It did not object, but twisted its head around, fangs bared, and attempted to continue its eager licking of his robes. He found there was a way of lodging his knees behind the wing joints that made him feel more secure, and looked around at the others. Neville had heaved himself over the back of the next thestral and was now attempting to swing one short leg over the creature's back. Luna was already in place, sitting side-saddle and adjusting her robes as though she did this every day. Ron, Hermione, and Ginny, however, were still standing motionless on the spot, open-mouthed and staring. "What?" he said. "How are we supposed to get on," said Ron faintly, "when we can't see the things?"
"Oh, it's easy," said Luna, sliding obligingly from her thestral and marching over to him, Hermione, and Ginny. "Come here."
She pulled them over to the other thestrals standing around, and one by one managed to help them onto the backs of their mounts. All three looked extremely nervous as she wound their hands into the horses' manes and told them to grip tightly before getting back onto her own steed.
"This is mad,"
Ron said faintly, moving his free hand gingerly up and down his horse's neck.
"Mad! If I could just see it!"
"You'd better hope it stays invisible," said Harry darkly.
"We all ready, then?" They all nodded, and he saw five pairs of knees tighten beneath their robes.
"Okay."
He looked down at the back of his thestral's glossy black head and swallowed.
"Ministry of Magic, visitor entrance, London, then," he said uncertainly. "If you know where to go."
For a moment, his thestral did nothing at all. Then, with a sweeping movement that nearly unseated him, the wings on either side extended. The horse crouched slowly and then rocketed upwards so fast and so steeply that Harry had to clench his arms and legs tightly around the horse to avoid sliding backward over its bony rump. He closed his eyes and put his face down into the horse's silky mane as they burst through the topmost branches of the trees and soared out into a blood-red sunset. Harry did not think he had ever moved so fast. The thestral streaked over the castle, its wide wings hardly beating. The cooling air was slapping Harry's face. Eyes screwed up against the rushing wind, he looked around and saw his five fellows soaring along behind him, each of them bent as low as possible into the neck of their thestral to protect themselves from his slipstream. They were over the Hogwarts grounds. They had passed Hogsmeade. Harry could see mountains and gullies below them. In the falling darkness, Harry saw small collections of lights as they passed over more villages, then a winding road on which a single car was beetling its way home through the hills.
"This is bizarre,"
Harry heard Ron yell from somewhere behind him, and he imagined how it must feel to be speeding along at this height with no visible means of support. Twilight fell. The sky turned to a light, dusky purple, littered with tiny silver stars, and soon it was only the lights of Muggle towns that gave them any clue of how far from the ground they were, or how very fast they were travelling. Harry's arms were wrapped tightly around his horse's neck as he willed it to go even faster. How much time had elapsed since he had seen Sirius lying on the Department of Mysteries floor? How much longer would he be able to resist Voldemort? All Harry knew for sure was that Sirius had neither done as Voldemort wanted nor died, for he was convinced that either outcome would cause him to feel Voldemort's jubilation or fury course through his own body, making his scar sear as painfully as it had on the night Mr. Weasley was attacked. On they flew through the gathering darkness. Harry's face felt stiff and cold, his legs numb from gripping the thestral sides so tightly, but he did not dare shift positions lest he slip. He was deaf from the thundering in his ears, and his mouth was dry and frozen from the rush of cold night air. He had lost all sense of how far they had come. All his faith was in the beast below him, still streaking purposefully through the night, barely flapping its wings as it sped ever onward.
If they were too late. "He's still alive. He's still fighting. I can feel it."
If Voldemort decided Sirius was not going to crack,
"I'd know."
Harry's stomach gave a jolt. The thestral's head was suddenly pointing toward the ground, and he had actually slid forward a few inches along its neck. They were descending at last. He heard one of the girls shriek behind him and twisted around dangerously.
but could see no sign of a falling body. Presumably they had received a shock from the change of position, just as he had.